If you have your Bibles tonight, I feel like we're supposed to go back to the Psalms. And I want to turn to the third chapter of the book of Psalms. And I would ask you if you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's precious word. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. I want to look at a phrase found in verse number 3. A phrase that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I'll share with you why or how. Verse 3 at the end of the verse. He's the lifter up of mine head. Father, I thank you for your precious word. And how, Lord, when I'm troubled, when I'm not well, when my spirit is burdened, and physically when I'm altered, the Psalms have been good for me. And your word is precious to my soul. And I thank you, Father, for how you deal with us and how you lead us and guide us. And Father, we're afraid that we don't follow you as we should. And I pray, God, you'd help us now tonight then, Lord. Having confessed to you our sinfulness, our weakness, God, would you forgive us? And God, would you help us then to preach your word? Would you be tonight the lifter up of my head? God, it may be that somebody here, their head is so down and out. Only you can lift their head. They don't have the strength. They don't have the ability. But God, tonight, would you do what only you can do and lift them tonight, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In Psalm chapter 3, we see David in a time where he's very discouraged. It seems that all hope in his life is gone. He is fleeing the throne of Israel that God has placed him on. Because, first of all, he sinned, and God said, the sword will not depart from your family. And his own son, Absalom, has betrayed his father and has arisen against him. In fact, while David was occupying the throne, Absalom would go outside the palace at the gate, and he would meet with the people. And he would stop them and say, ho, such a one, tell me your needs and your problems. He said, well, I'm going to see the king about it. Oh, you don't need to see the king. Talk to me. Tell me your troubles and your problems. And they would begin to confide in Absalom. And Absalom would put his arm around him and say, oh, if I were king, I'd make sure your needs were met. Oh, me and you would be buddies. I'd look out. You don't need to go see my father, David, because he's old now. He's out of touch. It's a new day and age in which we live. And I'm that new, after all, am I not the king's son? And little by little, he began to sway the people. And he wanted to get rid of his father. In fact, I believe he wanted to even kill his father. He wanted to usurp the authority of the throne of his father and take the entire kingdom. And the problem that Absalom created within the people got so bad that David had to vacate the throne and go into exile with just a few faithful followers. And the majority of Israel turned to Absalom and began to say, "Oh, long live the king," and were so excited because Absalom is now ruling. My Bible says, when I look closer at 2 Samuel 15:12, that the conspiracy was strong. That's the Holy Ghost. David is heartbroken. He has put everything as a father that he has into his son, only to see his son turn against him. And now he's fleeing for his life and he's going across the Kidron Brook. And it seems that everything has fallen apart and there is no hope. And he says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me?" In other words, Ahithophel, his right-hand counselor, has joined in with Absalom. Shimei is cussing David, throwing dirt and stones at the man after God's own heart as he goes off barefooted across the Kidron Brook. I would remind you, there's another one that would cross the Kidron Brook after having been betrayed. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. Look at David's attitude here, just as an introduction. He says, "How are they increased that trouble me?" You see what he's thinking about? How they trouble me. "They that rise up, many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul," there's no help for him in God. You see, it's all about David. And the last word of verse 2, look what it says. "There's no help for him in God," period. And David puts a Selah in right there. It's as if all his problems, he's just concerned. How's this going to affect me? So-and-so's turning about me. So-and-so's talking about, how's this? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen here? And I'm telling you something, sometimes we get pretty self-centered. It's all about me. And he gets to that word, and he looks to God, period. And immediately, the things begin to change. Selah, what does that mean? It's a musical term. It means rest. It means pause. It means think on these things. Think about what's happening. And then, the command to the music minister is to raise it up half a note. These are songs that they would sing. Raise it up half a note for emphasis. Now, he's stopped to think. Hey, this is not about me. My hope is in God. And all of a sudden, his attitude begins to change and his focus begins to change from me and he starts looking to God. Look at verse 3. After the Selah, it says, "But thou, O Lord," see, his thinking gets on God. You don't need to consider your troubles as much as you do. You need to consider Jesus. You need to spend as much time and more time looking and talking and considering Jesus than you do about what's going to happen to me. That makes me dizzy. I can't do that again. But I'm just going to tell you, we've got to start thinking about the Lord. He says, "My glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." Selah, hallelujah, raise it up again another half note. Now we're up a whole note. And by the end of the chapter, he says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord." He says, "I'm not afraid of what 10,000 people are going to do that gather against me." Now, this is what the Lord showed me. I'm laying there, sick as a dog. I've had so many people say, "Pastor Darren, can't wait to hear you preach after you go through what you've been through. Man, you're going to come back powerful." And I thought, are you kidding? You think I'm resting? I can't even recover. I'm about to die, man. I'm so dizzy I can't read. My nerves are so shot and I'm so anxious. My wife would tell you, she cut the TV on. I'd say, "Cut it off. Can't stand a noise. I didn't want the dog to bark. Shut up. I didn't want anything. I couldn't stand. It was all I could do to watch a service and try to get through it. And then my nerves were completely frazzled because I couldn't be here and my heart was broken. Listen, will you hear me for a second? God, what am I going to do? And God said, you're spending too much time looking down. And I got to thinking about this. You know, I spend most of my day looking down. Oftentimes when I study my Bible, I'm looking down. When I look at different books and commentaries and things, I'm looking down. When I'm writing, I'm looking down. When I'm working on the computer, I'm a one-finger typist, and I'm looking down. Sometimes when I'm bowed in prayer, most time, I'm looking down. And oftentimes, we're looking at the world, and we're looking about how this change is going to affect me and how this rule is going to affect me and what's going to happen to me and what's going to happen to my family. And I picked up a journal and I started reading that for your health, it's not good to look down all the time. It's not healthy for your head. It's not healthy for your spine and for your neck for you to look down all the time. God wants you to look up. He wants you to look up and behold His glory. He wants you to look up and behold His creation. He wants you to look up and behold the stars. Have you considered who put them there? Look at that big ball of sunshine up there. Who put it up there and said, let there be light, bling. God did that. We need every day to purpose in our life to look up. One time, I'm still in my introduction. I was going down to preach at a little church in Saluda, North Carolina on a Saturday night. They usually run between 5 or 7 people. And I'm driving down there to the church, and there's a man standing there, Uncle Simp Thompson. Got to know him through the services there. He's standing looking just like this. Well, I was a little early, so I stopped, and I pulled off. And I got out, and I said, Uncle Simp, what are you looking at? I don't see a plane. I don't see a helicopter. I don't really even see a cloud. Well, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing? He said, son, I was just thinking this would be a good day for the Lord to come back. And because Uncle Simp was looking up, it got me looking up. It's contagious. And so tonight God said, I want to be the lifter up of your head. It's not good for you spiritually, and it's not good for you physically to have your head down just as much as it is. God said, when I lift up your head now, don't keep your eyes closed. I've got some things that I want to show you in your dilemma. Some things you need to cast your eye on while I lift up your head. Number one, when David's got his head up, he's looking to the sovereign. He's been hanging his head down. He's been looking in despair. He's been looking in disappointment. He's been looking in discouragement. When the Lord lifts up his head, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He didn't pin that down when his head was down. He pinned that down when the Lord had showed him who his help was. When he was surrounded by troubles, when he was in a valley low, he said, I'll look to the hills, but I'm not looking just at the hills. I'm looking at the hills that my God made. I'm looking beyond my trouble. I'm looking beyond the hills. I'm looking to one who's able. I'm looking to one who can. Hey, man. Listen, he said again, Psalm 25:15, mine eyes are ever toward thee. Psalm 123:1, unto thee I lift up mine eyes. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're looking at your trouble. You're looking at your therapist. You're looking at your physiatrist. That's what they said on I Love Lucy. You're looking at your psychiatrist. You're looking at what the world says. You're looking at the newspaper. You're looking at what CNN and Fox News and ABC and NBC and CBS and all them other nut jobs. You are looking at the wrong ones, honey. You need to look at a sovereign, almighty God who created the stars and the heavens and the sun and the moon and every hill that there is around us. He made it all.
you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he breathed in you the breath of life and you became a living soul. And God's going to take care of you. He brought you this far. He's not going to abandon you now. You need to know that Jesus is a faithful friend, one on whom you can depend. He will keep you to the end. So fix your eyes upon him. There is a sovereign God that loves you. He proved it when he sent his son to die for you. And he raised him up on the first day of the week. Look to Jesus Christ. He wants to help you tonight. Well, Pastor, I tell you, I look to my family. I look to my friends. I look to my financials. Pastor, I look to Wall Street. I look to my 401k. I look to my investment. I look to my government. I'm looking to my governor. I'm looking to my senator. I'm looking to my congressman or congresswoman. I'm looking to the Supreme Court. I think tonight the answer's, honey, you keep on looking to your president. You keep on looking to your governor. You keep on looking to your Supreme Court. You keep on looking at your investment portfolio, but you're going to be sadly disappointed in the end. I've got one tonight, honey, that you can look to who's the author and the finisher of our faith. When he lifts your head, look to the sovereign God Almighty. Amen. That's what David did. When he lifts your head, there's another place you need to look. In Psalm 120 through 134, we spent much time studying about the song of degrees, the songs of ascent. They sang these 15 psalms as they came from all over parts of Israel and parts even beyond that. And where were they coming? To the house of the Lord, to the sanctuary. The house of the Lord was built up on the top of a big hill. If you come from the north, you looked up there, you could see it. If you come from the south, when you lifted your head, you could see it. You come from the east, you come from the west, God's house was looked to. Everybody knew about God's house. Hallelujah. Jerusalem and God's house was built upon the highest place. And they sang when they was on their way. They were so excited just about going. Listen to what David said when the Lord lifted his head. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Today is our opportunity to go into the house of the Lord, the sanctuary, if you will. Why, it was just 14 months ago when the governor said, can't go in there anymore. It's just not right to do scientifically. You need to go outside. In fact, we don't want you more than within 6 feet of each other. And so we had to have drive-in church. And though it was good, it was better when we got to go back to the sanctuary. Then they said, well, you can have up to 10 people. I mean, look at this place. God's just give us a beautiful building. And he said, you can have 10 people in the house of the Lord. We're afraid you'll have the virus and you'll share it. So we streamed it online, figured out a way. Thank God we were ahead of the curve. We'd got transmitters and all these things to have drive-in church. At the same time, we could broadcast the services. And there was times where we would have 5,000 people. I don't even know 5,000 people tuning in to watch the services, to see what was going on. How are you in the world? Are y'all having church when there's a pandemic around, man? How are y'all having church? What are we going to do? And though it was good to watch the services online, when we could come back to the house of the Lord, it was better. On April the 11th, when I got so sick and I tested positive for old coronavirus, and they said, you're going to be down 10 days. Quarantined, away from everybody. My 10 days turned into a month. Man, I was bad off. Couldn't hardly drive. Couldn't have get Luke and Miss Gina and Miss Shelby to haul me around everywhere I went. I was so dizzy, I couldn't stand up. I'm telling you, I was in awful shape. And I'd sat down to watch the services, and I sure was thankful that we had services that I could watch online. Amen? And it was good. But it was better when I got to come back. I was glad when they said, you can go back to the house of God now. And man, I couldn't wait to be here. And I tell you what, when he lifts your head, you can look to the sanctuary. My daddy told me, he said, son, everything in life that you want to build your life on, build around the house of God. You hear me? You hear me? Build around the house of God. You won't be sorry. You won't be disappointed. Amen. Thank God for the house of the Lord. Can I say this for just a second? I hope you'll be all right. I just want to take time. I got saved in the house of the Lord. My wife and I, we got married in the house of the Lord. God blessed us with two children, and we dedicated them in the house of the Lord. Years back, before that was born, guess what? When I surrendered to preach, I was in the house of the Lord. There's just something about the house of the Lord. And you know what we're doing? We're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. People don't want to come. They don't see the importance of coming to the house of the Lord. But God's saying, when I lift up your head, look to the sanctuary. Look to the sovereign. You know who else we can look to? We can look to the Savior. David did. Well, preacher, he hadn't been born yet. That's right. He called him his Lord, and he hadn't even met him yet. Hear me now. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking, when he lifts your head, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's old hymn, I believe it's in the red back hymnal, I think it is, written in 1918. If it's not, and I know it's in another hymnal because I saw it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The world we live in is sad. And Adam, I'd like to fail out tonight when you started to sing and you was testifying about what does the world do in the middle of a pandemic. What does the world do when they don't have Jesus Christ? There's a great number that doesn't know Jesus. Imagine, as hard as it is for you, living in this day and age without Jesus. Imagine going through a pandemic without Jesus. Imagine, society and culture, this cancel culture, they're trying to cancel Jesus, trying to take your hope and your faith away. But we have a wonderful Savior, and they cannot take him away. Amen. When was the last time you looked up and said, Lord, the things of this world mean nothing to me, but you mean everything? Two amens in the whole house. You see, here's your problem. You're spending so much time looking down, worried about your trouble. You say, well, I'm looking to the Lord. You ain't looking. You may be glancing. You may kind of look up, just know he's there every now and then. But you spend all your time focused on the wrong thing. And when was the last time you just said, Lord, I'm looking to you. If the things of this world, if you say they mean nothing to me, really? Then what you so worried about? Amen, Pastor. You told it right there. Amen. What you so worried about if the things of this world mean nothing to you? Maybe God's just testing you to see if he really is your everything or to see if your main focus is on the things of this world. Listen now. Jesus made this statement, John 12:32. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If we would look to Jesus. I got to thinking about when he was dying on the cross for my sin and your sin and the sins of the whole world, he was lifted up. And as he's lifted up on that cross, every soldier, every guard, everybody there, even this day, they have to look up to him. But they jeered at him and they mocked him and they spat at him. And after he gave his life and they buried him, men began to look down. They immediately looked down at that old sepulcher he would be buried in and say, we better set a stone in front of it and a seal around it, or that deceiver's going to get up and get out. His disciples may come and steal him, and we don't want that to happen. Immediately they've been looking down. And men have been looking down ever since that day as they've made sport of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? When they were looking up to him, you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We've got to start lifting Jesus back up. I'm not saying he put him on the cross again. I'm saying we got to make him first in our life again. Spurgeon, he went out one night, a troubled young man. He went in the middle of a snowstorm and an ice storm, and he walked into the local house of God. It was such a bad storm that the pastor, the preacher, couldn't be there. And an old farmer who lived nearby that had walked up to the house of God, he walked in and he stood there and looked over the very few people that were there and saw Mr. Spurgeon troubled, saw his burden all over his face. He read Isaiah 45:22 to the congregation. Will you hear it? Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And he spoke about how we can look to the Lord. And he pointed at Spurgeon and said, young man, you have heartache and loneliness, but look to Jesus. And Spurgeon made his way up to an old-fashioned altar in the middle of a snowstorm and an ice storm without the preacher even being there. He looked to Jesus and he got gloriously saved. Amen. Honey, you and I need to look to the Savior. You know what else we need to start looking for? John 4:35. Listen to what Jesus said, because he's the lifter of my head. He says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What does that mean? It means we need to start looking for souls. Spend so much time on our troubles and our problems. When was the last time we really got burdened about souls? Have we forgotten that we're a soul in need of salvation? We've got to get burdened about souls again. You see, when the wheat is white, that means if a breeze comes by, it blows that seed right off and it goes. You see, the wheat, when it's harvested, is supposed to be golden in color. But when it turns to white, it is almost too late. It really needs to be reached just before it is white. But Jesus said, the fields are white to harvest. The laborers are few. In other words, people are not concerned about people dying and going to hell. And we need our head to be lifted up so we can start praying and seeking God's face about souls again. Amen. Are you looking for souls? Are you burdened for souls? There's people all around us just need somebody to smile, need to tell them about Jesus. This is a Christian nation, although the society, cancel culture, wants to get rid of the biblical foundation of this nation. I'm telling you, Jesus is still the Savior. They'll never, never cancel him. One more and I'm done. You know what you need to do? Uncle Simp Thompson taught me that day. You need to be looking for his second coming. I want to read out of the book of Titus. Would you turn there? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then you have the book of Titus. And I want to look at chapter 2. And verses 13 and 14 are my favorite verses. When people ask me to sign things, I oftentimes sign my name and I'll say Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And I want you to see these, and I want to read one more verse and we'll be done. One more section, we'll be done. Look at verse 13. We need to start looking for Jesus to come. When he comes, he's coming in the rapture. When your head is lifted, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. We need to be looking for the second coming, and it's going to start in the rapture. And speaking of the rapture, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16. I want to read right there, Preacher Darren, that's things that's read at a funeral. Well, amen. I hope I'm not preaching my own tonight. But I want to read verse 16. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The next prophetic event that will ever happen is the rapture. Jesus is coming, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, amen. Scoffers will say, where is the promise of his coming? 2,000 years have passed. Preacher Darren, he's not coming. But I remind you of something. One day with God is as 1,000 years with men. It's been 2,000 years since he was raised from the grave. Amen. He was raised on that third day. He's coming. You better start looking for him. He's coming. My expectation is of Jesus. It's the next prophetic event to take place. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. As he lifts our heads tonight, let's take the opportunity to look to him. Tonight, as I've been preaching, many of you in the house of God, your head that may have been down when you come in, you've lifted your head just to listen to the preacher preach the word of God. Your head's been lifted as you've listened tonight to the word. Now there may be a few that's head slumped over. And I don't want to say that it's obvious that I know you're not listening. But if everybody else's head is up and your head is down, I know something is wrong. Therefore, in your spiritual realm, if everybody else's head is up and your head is down, we know you have a problem. How we need to pray for each other. How we need to encourage each other. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, Moses and the people of Israel are journeying through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And the people start complaining against God and against Moses because of the way. I didn't know this was going to be so hot. I didn't know this was going to be so hard. I didn't know I was going to get so hungry. Hungry? He's feeding you manna every day. And quail for meat. Yeah, but I'm tired of it. I want a cheeseburger. I'm tired of it. I want a hot dog. I'm tired of it. My soul loathes this light bread. Angel food cake. I'm tired of it. I want something different. And we start complaining and moaning and groaning because the way is hard. And God heard it. I heard what you said. I didn't say nothing. I love Moses. Oh, he's such a great guy. So God, knowing the truth, sent fiery serpents amongst the people. And they bit much people. And they died. Now, if tonight I told you there's a snake loose, sister, I let it loose right over here. You know what she did? Her head went immediately down. Oh, I know that preacher. He's liable to do it. Her head went down. They had to watch. It might be a serpent. Don't want to get bit. Don't want to die. And the people came and said, Moses, forgive us. We've sinned against you and against God. Take away the fiery serpents. Pray to God for us. Moses didn't say, you heathens, you scoundrels, you getting what you deserve. You spoke of it. No, he's the meekest man on the face of the earth. And he had already forgiven them. And he said, God, I don't understand, but would you take away the serpents that's amongst the people? God said, I won't take them away, but I have a remedy. You see, those serpents are like sin. God doesn't just take away sin. It's still amongst us. We're looking down. That's why we're looking down all the time. We're sinners. But he said, I'll make a remedy. Moses, I want you to go get a fiery serpent, one made out of brass, one made out of the heat, one that looks like a serpent, but it ain't got no venom. One that looks like a serpent, but it ain't got no sin. One that looks like a serpent, but it ain't got no bite. I want you to put it upon a pole. And when you lift it up, I want you to say, everyone that will look up, will live. If they've been bitten. And I'm telling you, honey, tonight, the serpent of sin has bit every single one of us. And we're going to die in our sins unless we look to Jesus. He's got to lift our head and get us to look. Can you see people that's been bit? Oh, man, I've been bit. Oh, I've been so bad. Swole up. Camouflage looking colors going up my leg. Oh, man. Somebody else over here, oh, I've been bit. People bit everywhere. Somebody comes to the camp. Hey, good news, good news. God's provided a remedy. If you'll look after you've been bit, if you'll look to the serpent upon the pole, you'll be healed. And a little girl screams, oh, mama, I've been bit. And she hears the message. My girl's been bit, but God's got an answer. My girl's been bit, but God has a remedy. She gets that little girl. She brings her down. And she says, honey, look up there. Mama, I can't. Look, honey, lift up you. Mama, look, honey. Will you look up there? That serpent that's lifted up. Would you see it? That brazen serpent. Mama, I can't lift up you. Puts her on her shoulders, gets underneath her burden, says, honey, look. She gets as close as she can. She goes, Mama, I see it now. Mama, I see it now. And this, woo, it's gone. Mom, I'm feeling good. And the little girl jumps down and says, hey, boys, listen to me. If you get bit, God's got an answer. I was bit, God took away, and he saved me, and he spared me. And one of them boys gets bit and says, I'm going to do what that little girl says. And they say, woo, when they looked at Jesus, and they've been healed, and they've been made whole. And some old codger sitting at a Baptist church, sitting over here saying, I'm telling you, I've been bit. Oh. And everybody else is shouting and praising God for the remedy and the answer, and their heads lifted. And one still got his head, mister, what? If you'd look, just look to him, you'd live. You don't understand, I'm old. I'm bit worse than you was. I mean, that thing went that deep. Yours only went that deep. I was bit by a big daddy rattlesnake. You was bit by a little bitty one. Don't tell me that we got the same bite. Mine's worse than yours was. My leg's bigger than yours was. I'm sicker than you was. You know how it is. There's always got to be somebody to one-up you if you're sick. I don't think that stuff's going to work. Mister, I'm telling you, you can sit there and die if you want to. But it's up to you. You can keep your head down. You can be sad, disappointed, and live in your despair. Or you can lift your head and look to him and live. Church, will you hear me for a minute? This is a new day. You have a decision you need to make. Are you going to look to him? Are you going to start looking for Jesus to come again? Are you going to start looking for souls? Are you going to start looking for the Savior? Are you going to start looking to the sanctuary? Are you going to start looking to the sovereign? Or are you going to keep looking down? Because if you stay in that position, it's not good for you spiritually or physically. I have good news for you. Preacher Darren, I've been bit so bad I can't even lift my head. I don't know what on earth I'm going to do. I can't even lift my head. It's so bad. Now I'm so sick. I'm so dizzy. Jesus comes by and says, lift up your head. Listen, every single one that was laying there in the middle of the street and he came by, when he touched, they looked up. Hey, man. Except Bartimaeus. He was blind. He couldn't see him. But he did by faith. And he got right with the Lord. You stand to your feet tonight, I'm done. I'm just telling you tonight, church, the Lord wants to lift your head. Your head's bowed, nobody's looking, nobody's moving, not even a piano playing. You stop. Don't even come, son. Not tonight. Here you are. Your head's bowed. I'm not asking you to come to the altar. Pastor Darren, would you pray for me? Would you ask God to lift my head? Because I promise, if he will, I'll look to the Savior. If he will, I'll look for souls. If he will, I'll start looking at the right things and quit looking at the wrong things. Is anybody not? You'd raise your hand and say, oh, pray for me, preacher. I want my head to be lifted. God bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You put them down. Anybody else, you need to put it up. Bless you. Anybody else? God sees that hand. God sees that hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? You're just being honest. Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Father, tonight, Lord, I know that I'm supposed to bow my head in prayer. But tonight, sir, I stand with my hands lifted, and you be the lifter of my head. And God, when I pray in faith that you will hear my prayer. Lord Jesus, would you help these tonight, God? Would you help them to quit looking down and considering self? And would you lift their head and get them looking for you? God, would you save their family members and their friends? God, would you rescue them out of the crisis and the dilemma they're in? God, would you help them, Lord, to consider Jesus in the middle of this trial? Lord, I pray you would do a great thing in their lives. Thank you, God, for a young man by the name of David who said, Lord, you're my shield and the lifter up of my head. Lord, would you help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah to God.